Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, family. I'm an addict named Hadia.
Hadia.
Love you.
Love you too. Yes, indeed. It's truly by God's grace that I stand here clean today. And I'm most thankful for the breath of life that He's given me on this day. Praise God. Growth through pain. Workshop's filling up. A lot of pain. A lot of growth. All right. I would like to first thank Monica on CPR CNA's 19th Programming Subcommittee. She asked me to share. And this is an incredible convention. Dreams do come true. And I'm thankful for those that are in service at this convention, because this convention could not be put on if some folks didn't realize that there was growth through pain and it was necessary to have a place that we could carry a message to folks that may perhaps still be suffering, those that may not even know if they're suffering, not even certain why they're here. I'd like to thank our predecessors. Indeed, I'm looking out and I see William, and I definitely need to thank him because he's personally had an impact on my life and my recovery. So I say thank you, William P., for sticking and staying, for always being so funny. But it was something about the message last night that was not all so funny, but was all so real, that just kind of put me in touch. Let me say this. This morning I didn't make it to the sunrise meeting. Because I stayed up a little too late last night, because I have a new baby. And here in my life, God willing, she'll be acknowledging her first year, yeah. May 27th, right? And I want to tell our lover, share my growth through the pain, that perhaps you're hearing some of it. You just might choose another path. You just might want to stay on this path and find out who you are. The first thing I read this morning, one of the readings I read, the bottom line of it was, with each step I take, I get better and better. It was in Narcotics Anonymous literature, it's other literature that I read, when I say thanks in the morning for the breath that I have, because I took that for granted a number of years. And then I proceeded and thought, since I got wound up, that I need to go have a talk with God this morning. So I didn't make sunrise meeting. My babies were asleep. And I said, I'm just going to go take a little walk. It's cold outside. It's cold out there, right? But I'm going to go take a walk and talk to God this morning, right? And so I did. Green and black scarf, red, white, and blue shirt, huh? Gray sweats, green Thames. I think I had a black fleece on, one black glove, couldn't find the other one, but I'm going to have a talk with God. He takes me as I am. So, as I'm walking, I'm going to say this so that I can tell you who I am. I found a spot very close, and it was a long stick. And I wrote, Hadia was here with the stick. And as I proceeded to walk, continue to walk down, because it was too much wind to try to walk up. As I looked back, I knew that Hadia was no longer even there. Because I had stepped off of that place and left something there this morning that was on my heart that I needed to leave there. Not recognizing, however, that I was really that close to the water, but indeed it was washed away. So Hadia is no longer in that place. Thank God. And when I was coming back, which was about an hour later, I didn't realize how long I had been out. I'd taken my cell phone because I thought maybe my babies would call and say, where are you, Shan, this morning, whatever, whatever. And I wanted to just call my sponsor, because we're talking about growth through the pain. My process hasn't always been so painful, because I've had such a loving guide that has told me that it was necessary to go inside, to want to get better, because you deserve so much better than you're getting what you're doing right now. So I wanted to call her and say thank you, because I didn't tell her I was sharing or anything. And the phone said, hold on, a Sprint representative will be right with you. So the phone is off. And then I thought about it and said, but when I left, I said I was going to have a talk with God, not to talk to anyone else. So the phone wasn't even necessary. And I'm saying this to say that I get messages sometimes after the fact, but they are very relevant in my life and in my recovery. So I ain't sweat to get the phone on, the phone still off. I don't need the phone. I'm in recovery. I'm amongst my peeps here, right? Yes. Y'all told me I had to get a clean date. I ain't know that, because I ain't know I had a problem. I used it for 14 years. I'm from Newark, New Jersey. Love Prince Street Projects. They're not there anymore. The things that kill us seem to, over time, just go away. That's how good God is. All the using amongst the children and not even wondering where they are when you're in the hallways. I ain't start out like that, but this is how I got. Right? They're gone. Prince Street, no more. But the memories of it are embedded within me and a part of my story. And part of why I stay here and know that it is necessary. Right? Today I'm in such a wonderful place, let me say that. Because we do have wonderful places and times in recovery when we do the necessary work, as William so talked about last night. With each step, I get better and better. But I had to find out that there was a reason for me to even take any steps. Well, it would have appeared that through this long lineage of alcoholics in my family that I might have had a clue that something was going to happen to me and the druggies and the dope fiends in my family before me. Because certainly I did not want to be like them. I saw the picture. It was so clear. And what I know about the disease of addiction, you know, a lot of times I understand that we've got to go through whatever we've got to go through. I really can't save anyone else. I've got to know why I was here. I come from a long lineage of alcoholics and addicts. But I swore the dope change. And I just wouldn't be as bad as Nakawa was. But my cousin told me that I didn't even know what real dope was. He had dope in the 60s. I'm just 43, so I was born 61, so that's a little late. I had it in the 80s. Worked well for me. So I thought. Something should have told me when I was on 116th from Morningside with my fly ass mean coat on, standing over the fire barrel. That had a problem. Something should have told me that. Dope tells me to die. And I share, you know, about the dope because, you know, a junkie was certainly somebody that shot dope. Well, that's not how I started out, but certainly how I ended up. And it took me 3 years in recovery to admit that I shot dope. And I love not, and so I thought. Because truly that would be to admit that I was one of y'all. Because I came in here filled with denial. And to talk about growth through the pain, it's not like I just came into Narcotics Anonymous. My clean date is September 1st, 1990. Praise God. 14 years. Day at a time. Through the grace of God and through his mercy, because I understand, and I've been sharing it lately, what mercy is. Not something that I deserve, but I realized that I also come from a grandmother that was a praying grandmother. She was faithful, and I want to be just as faithful, and I'm learning to be faith-filled and having more moments of that. But as a result of what she did, I believe that God has touched me. And so I'm blessed. And if you are here today, I believe that God has touched you and you are blessed. Through my process, I have come to understand there was a reason that I started using. I didn't like the conditions in which I was living, but I was a child, and it's that stuff that I saw that I emulated. The pain of it all at times made getting high easier. I left something at the water to say I'd never speak on it again, and I'm not, but it's an issue with my mother. And those that know me know I've had issues. That's been my main area of pain in my recovery. And not because I'm not willing to grow, but I have been unable to forgive her for abuse in the past. And I understand that people do and work with what they have. I understand that. But at times, my inability to see the truth for what it is won't allow me to go there. She couldn't give a lot of love if she didn't have it. I understand that. I can't give you what I don't have. It's impossible. So I've got to get something. So drugs was an easy way out. I didn't have to look long or hard. 14 years later, I found myself in L.A., one-way ticket. I didn't think I'd take me out there and I'd do the same thing. Within 24 hours, I was on Hollywood and Vine, Scorn. And I'm saying, I'm finding this out after the fact, because when I got here, I've had two wonderfully loving women that have nurtured me in this process, that have said, baby, stop playing with your life. You cannot do what you did out there and here. It's not going to work. She didn't suggest that. She told me that. She said, I love you. She put me in front of the mirror. I want you to learn to love yourself. She saw from the outside all the fine clothes that I still had. She saw the emptiness of me on the inside. She saw it. How could she see it? Each one teach one. She knew who I was. I am my sister. You know my story. Ultimately, I used to say that I stay clean because I don't want to suck no more dirt in nothing. Today, I say I stay clean because I understand that God loves me and there's a purpose for my life. 14 years. I've been here a minute. Have gone through the process of discovering, uncovering, and talking about it in the meeting if you wanted to hear it, if you didn't want to hear it, when it left me when we was getting married. And I believe people can change their minds. I just didn't change mine, and so I was messed up. I'm going to tell you what looking at self will do. That was about 2 years ago. About 8 months ago, I probably could have told you the date, the time, down to the minute when it left and what I did. Today I'm here to report. I don't remember none of that. Right? It's not important because I have forgiven him. He had to go. Oh yeah. There's a divine purpose on my life. Some things are going to stay. Some things are going to go. With or without my permission. When I learn to let go, I have less of the pain. So I learned how to forgive him, but it was really easier when I started to look at myself and see that I already saw things before he left. But the denial, so much in wanting to just have someone. And I'm saying this because oftentimes, you know, I hear, oh, I don't want to be in a fetal position. Why not? It's part of the process. That was the birth process. That was the beginning. That means some new stuff getting ready to come. Take it. Take it with stride. Take it smilingly, right? Ultimately, I have learned that through the growth and after the pain comes the joy. Right? That means lesson well learned, sister. Lesson well learned. Don't have to go there anymore. But I've oftentimes made bad choices just based upon my surroundings and my conditions and my unwillingness to really tap into understanding how good God is. It's not preaching, it just is. Y'all told me I needed to find a God, and I need to find a God now. And it was going to be important. And it's amazing how I had to come in here and look at, you know, 14 years of active addiction, how it started out kind of cute, and, you know, how it ended by the fire barrel. It's, you know, what happened? What happened in there? Somewhere along the lines, my soul was taken from me while I was walking, living. My soul was taken from me. Because of the choices I made and the habit that I had. So I understand if I don't pick it up, I don't have to use it. I understand any addict, stop using, lose the desire to to use and find a new way, because this is a new way. This is a new way, and this is a new day, right? And I've got to be willing, you know, to go in them areas that oftentimes I don't want to look at. And I'm talking about my core relationships, which are my parents, where I come from. I think that if, you know, I know today that I've had to address that. I've had to address that because that's what I've emulated. My father was a womanizer, so I don't know if I came a manizer. I just had a lot of men. And didn't pick up on, I never wanted a commitment. He left. I didn't have no role models to show me what commitment was about. Nor did I have the courage, man, to say, well, if you want something different, damn it, then you do something different. I ain't had that kind of courage to break the cycle I'm talking about. Break the cycle that's been embedded in me. I understand today. You know, man, I'm thinking, I described how I looked earlier because grow through the pain. I actually thought about just coming from there and coming to this place, and I said, oh, I don't know about that. Right? But there was a time that how I looked before I came before you would have been of utmost importance. Yes. This is a meeting of saving lives. I have a disease that says you're going to die, and I'm going to kill you through your own thinking at any given time. And the second tradition is that I got to keep coming because I don't consistently make good decisions. 14 years later. But when I go to that place where I know I get hope, and when I go to God and look to be faith-filled, I really get a different experience. Because for the first time I'm saying, I'm not going to just live like you want me to live. This is working. I'm going to claim what's working in my life. Prayer works in my life. It's been affecting some positive change. It's not a painful thing to talk about growth through the pain. Thank God for a sponsor and support group, though, because I had others that nurtured me along the way. So they saw me before I came in here. But I better smile because this is what is important right here, this moment, right now, because this is all I have. This is all I have. So I want to be better. I'm not afraid anymore to look. My sponsor helped me tap into those areas, those relationships, man, that I had to look at. The most painful, I said, is my mother. I've had this inability to forgive her. I left it at the mortar this morning because what I thought about, you know, the first three steps, foundation, to hold on, no matter what comes, the wind was coming this morning. It was like, no, I got to get this prayer off. I got to do this thing. Then I had to go inside. I got to get with God before I get with me. Something to that. I'm just getting it. Come, first step, get with me. Get with God before I really get with me. So I could tell the truth to somebody else, the whole truth, huh? So help me, God. God is everywhere. I've just been nowhere. But once I found God, I'm everywhere and going places I've never been. And looking forward to it without a hype. I'm no longer locked in the bathroom 8-10 hours. Can't have company because they can't use the bathroom once I get up in there. Huh? Oh, no. Nobody pees in here. This is not the place to do that. Huh? Man, the things that have caused me great pain we can laugh about today. But I tell you, that's one of the many reasons that I stay here and offer to anyone that's new. This day could be the best day of your life. Whatever it is that you left, wherever you came from, leave it there. Be here in the moment. Hadia, practicing your own recovery. This was one of the first conventions that I came to. 6 months clean. It wasn't this big. It was a little Ricky little place, right? I walked around first half day looking for the person getting high. I couldn't believe, and it was only about 1,000 of us, about 1,500 folk about then, right? And I finally told my sponsor, anybody high here for real? She was like, girl, go have a good time. And I'm talking about have a good time, live. I'm saying this, I'm saying it to you, but I'm saying it to me. Live, learn to live. Man, active addiction destroyed me. 14 years, I only went to work so I could feed my habit. So when I come to meetings, I come to feed my spirit. When I go into prayer, I'm going to praise God and say thank you for pulling me. I know where I come from. I shot dope with a brother, the same dope, out the same hype. He died and I'm here. And before they could call somebody, I said, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, don't call nobody yet. When I had to take a look at that in my fifth step, it wasn't so easy to say. But once it came out, I got in touch with how destructive I had become as a result of how I was living and the people I was dealing with. So I better be careful with who I associate, even in here. So my plight in finding God has been an easy one, but oftentimes difficult. But through that process, my pain has been very limited. I've had more what's called self-inflicted pain. I'm not talking about natural deaths and, you know, we ain't here forever. I believe this moment is so important because there's a date and there's a time that's on my life, and I don't know when it is, but I want to be ready. And that means so today, sister, be the best you can be. Extend yourself to anyone that you can. Why? Because someone did it for me. I'm looking around. I see the many folk from D.C., man, that shared messages of hope for me. I was hopeless when I got here. Cute and hopeless. The fourth step was the best thing I could have done for myself. And in sharing that, because it really ridded me of my past and got me in touch with, you have not always been such a good person, but I was born of greatness to be great. But at some point, I lost that. I lost that desire. William talked about mediocrity. That's just like average, just normal. Why do I want to come from a place of hell to be just normal? I don't. Why? I've looked at where I've come from. It doesn't look pretty. This side is just so much better. I don't want to cross that side. I don't matter what happens. What man comes, what man goes, what job is here, what job is not here. It's not about the material successes. Those things will come. But as I come to, it's been the best thing that I've done in coming to believe. I'm coming to see a new vision for my own life. I'm here to report in the first 3 months of this year, things are just incredibly awesome in my life. I've been self-employed for 8 years. God told me to leave my job. I called my sponsor. And I said, God told me to leave my job. She said, what the hell are you calling me for? If God told you, then certainly he would lay it out so that you could walk in it. And I'm talking about walking by faith, because there have been times where I've had no money. But as the 11th step so eloquently says, we see. That regardless of the presence or absence of material success in our lives, we can be content. We can be happy and fulfilled with or without money, with or without a partner, with or without the approval of others. We've begun to see that God's will for us is the ability to live with dignity, to love ourselves and others, to laugh and to find great joy and beauty in our surroundings. I am looking around and I am feeling at peace because I am one with my family today. What I will say to that new baby that is out there, you don't have to use anymore, even if you want to. You don't have to, but you must make a choice. In this process, it has not been easy. Freedom and peace do not come easy. I have had to give up most things to get the good things. I give them up less fightingly now and more willingly, because I've come to see that God's will for me is to be the best, get the best, do the best, and open myself up to be available for anyone that comes through these rooms. The 12 steps have transformed the sister here. I don't feel like a bum. I feel beautiful and green and red and white and blue and gray and pink. And I'm thankful to just be in the presence of so many beautiful people. God has handpicked us to do something. I would encourage you to find out what it is that he has planned for you, because I'm going to keep finding out what he has planned for me, if you do it or not. Because this process has just been magnificently wonderful. So my hat's off to Narcotics Anonymous and CPR, CNA 19. God is good. Have a wonderful day. Hadia loves you.